Right now, time to find out what's going on in our area, once again, especially in the South County and surrounding areas, with the BerkshireEdge.com. You can find them right here on Robinhood Radio on a Wednesday morning, live on air. But, of course, on the web, TheBerkshireEdge.com is their website, and we welcome in Marcy and David. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So are you guys all set for springtime weather today, tomorrow, and Friday?
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
We are. We're ready to plant the garden.
We might even go outside. I might even leave my desk. Go outside.
Well, it's nice that it's coming our way, but we'll start off with the stories that we're just, and once again, remind people the stories that we talk about are just a snapshot, a few of the stories that you'll find at theBerkshireEdge.com. Governor Christie.
Hello.
I know,
what,
hello.
From New Jersey? What?
Charlie Baker's announced. Stop the Spread Initiative.
Yes.
Well, he is extending testing. There are testing sites all over the state, free testing sites where you can go in and find out whether you have COVID-19 or whether you're a possible spreader.
Right.
And this was supposed to expire at the end of March, and he has now extended this to the end of June. So, and it's home testing at no cost. So you can get kits, and we have on our site, we have an article, and we have a link to the mass.gov site where you can actually put in your zip code and find something that's near you.
You know, it's interesting to listen to this because think back about 3 months. We now have a testing that goes on in North Canaan. One's coming up, as a matter of fact, tomorrow. Daily in Kent, there's free testing that's available. And you sit here and you wonder, gosh, what if all these things happened about 3 months ago or four? You know what I mean? If the organization was there, what difference would it have made? I mean, it's still a major catastrophe, still a major pandemic where a lot of people have passed away. But it seems now with the way we are able to treat, now also test and give vaccinations, that knock on wood, we might be on the right side of this.
Well, let's hope. We're all still waiting to hear. I mean, I just overheard the end of your conversation at the Sharon Playhouse. I was going to go look them up. I couldn't tell from what I heard whether they were going to be live.
They're going to be live, and they're going to be outdoors simply because they can park 55 cars, okay, with four people a car. That's almost 250 people. Well, in the 350-seat playhouse, under the way things are set up, they'd only be able to seat about 100. And you know what? People might be a little nervous. But they're going to have lots of live outdoor things with their outdoor cabarets and shows and everything like that. So I think theaters are going to find ways to get around this, especially early in the summer, which is good news for all of us.
Definitely. And so, we're waiting, of course, to hear what most of the Berkshire performing arts programs are going to be doing, and Tanglewood being the big kahuna. We haven't heard a peep out of Tanglewood yet. And last year, of course, they canceled very late. I mean, it was like the end of May that they made a decision about closing for the summer, so I suspect it's going to be a long time before we hear.
Well,
it'll be very nice to be able to go to these cultural attractions and see people, and hopefully.
Well, safely, in the case.
Safely, right. Yeah. All right. Now, this next story just opened my eyes, and that is the vice chair of the Great Barrington Select Board outlining plans how the town could allocate, now listen to this, $3 million in marijuana revenues.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. it's a windfall.
Well, it is.
I mean, that's one of the advantages of our, legalizing these pot sales through these outlets, is that we get a, the towns each get a little percentage of the sales, and it's significant. And it's going to help reduce taxes for all the residents of Great Barrington, which is always an issue that comes up at town meeting, is how taxes are very high. And this is quite a significant chunk of money, that the $3 million.
Right.
So they're going to try to lower the tax rate.
It shows you that the money, how $3 million is an amazing amount of money for a small city, a large
yeah.
town, and you know what? It alleviates a burden on a lot of people with that money, especially if it's spent wisely. You know, that's the whole thing, and not squirreled away.
Well, I mean, what it does is it just goes to the general fund,
yep.
and it reduces the. You know, it's not like they have this money. How do we spend it?
Yeah.
It's like it's income that goes to reduce the.
It can go to anything you want.
Yeah.
I mean, it's free cash.
It's free cash.
I mean, it has to be. I mean, it is not allowed to be budgeted, because I guess the fear is that we won't necessarily have it every year. So it has to go into what's called right into the town's bank account, and then at the town meeting in June, people decide, what's going to happen to it. So Ed Abrams is making a proposal in a letter that we use some of it to lower our tax rate next year, some of it be put into a rainy day fund, some of it be put into a capital expense fund, and some of it be used to buy equipment, and that leaves about $1.5 million for what he can call a community impact funds, and the state says that we have to spend that to mitigate the negative impacts of legal marijuana. So, that's a question of what we do about that. It can be, for example, funding drug abuse education, other kinds of resources to the town. So it's there's a lot that has to be decided.
You know, it's interesting. It's not only the selling of marijuana, but now, right there in Sandusfield, and I've been following this on your site and talking about it. Sandusfield has the position where they have a large scale cannabis growing operation being considered, and there's people that are for it. There's people that are against it. This is an interesting story to follow.
Yes, Terry, Terry Cowgill, our managing editor, has been following it and has been doing a very good job. I mean, it's there are these towns where there is concentration of cannabis growing and processing,
and proposals for more. And this is for what you're referring to is a story we have about a proposal for a large-scale cannabis growing.
Yep.
Facility in Sandusfield, of all places, which is a tiny town, or not a tiny. It's about
but it's
has
a tiny uninhabited.
It's about it only has about 1,000 residents.
People. Right.
Well, regular residents, anyways, and so it's tucked away in the southeast corner of the Berkshire County, and this is a real boon for them. As far as taxes go, so it's. But on the other hand, people are concerned. They don't like this particular. There are always people who are still concerned about marijuana itself. They don't want to have it be part of the town. But nevertheless, it is it's going to.
Well, and it's also tearing up the town because the divisions. Are falling, long-time residents and pro-business types are embracing the project.
Right.
And the second homeowners are opposing it.
Well, you know, you talk about a growing operation and a processing operation. Obviously, the big thing, because I've been and I've interviewed at both Theory Wellness and the past, I've interviewed the owners.
Yeah.
And, you know, the processing of it, the big thing I think people have a right to worry about is the smell, because it is a very, very intense smell, and it has to be handled that way. I would think that's not a bad opposition, but other people that are just opposed to it because they don't want marijuana in their town, well, guess what? Marijuana's in their town anyway.
Right.
You know, whether or not, and this is not a selling facility, it's a growing and processing facility.
Right, and it's supposed to, you know, this little town is going to get close to $500,000 a year in property taxes on this as a result of this. So it's going to reduce.
Plus, I'm sure the other kinds of revenues that we're now talking about, the kind of $3 million that we're getting, they'll get something like that also.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those questions, but I think in Connecticut now, being seriously considered is marijuana and sports betting. And what's interesting about that is that your next story deals with that, the potential of sports betting at Berkshire bars and restaurants. Well, these things now are being considered in Connecticut as ways to pay for, I'm going to say this, social programs.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and hopefully for the train, which we are waiting for Connecticut to pay for its part of the tracks.
Well, you know, that's like waiting for Godot, I think.
I don't think so. I think if the Massachusetts governor got together with the Connecticut governor, they could come up with a plan, because quite simply put, towns like Salisbury and all the towns up here and also in Berkshire County are now getting an influx of new taxpayers, and if you have this train service where people can go from New York City to Danbury and then right up to Pittsfield, that opens up another avenue for people who want out of the city to either weekend or live here to get here easily.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's
those of us who want to go to New York to get there easily without, I mean, right now, if we go to New York from Great Barrington, we have to drive to Wissahick. And, you know, that's 38 miles. Take a shuttle from Wissahick to Southeast, change trains there, and, you know, and it's like more than a three-hour trip, three different conveyances. You know, and wouldn't it be wonderful just to get on a train in Great Barrington and go right to New York?
Yeah, or Canaan.
That's another thing. Your local community, so with local events anywhere from Kent to Pittsfield, where people, when there's something's going on in the town,
they just
hop on a train like and go there. But you know, there's so many different ways where towns and states can look for income, and they have to look for income because with sports betting and marijuana. You're not going to get manufacturing money, and
there are no jobs.
And you're not going to have brick and mortar businesses unless people live in the town.
That's right.
That's right.
So, anyway.
Oh, and you know, we're very excited. I mean, you know, we really don't know who's buying houses. We hear from brokers that many of the people who are buying houses are young people with families who want to live full time in the Berkshires. You can barely buy a house in the Berkshires now. I mean, there's for the first time since I've started my real estate section, I'm not sure that I can change our what's on the market column this week, because there's nothing on the market.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, there's something like in all of South County, there are something like 32 houses under $500,000 for sale, and many of them are, you know, are fixer-uppers. But and people want to just buy a house and move in. They don't necessarily want to fix up, and it's very difficult to get a contractor. They're also busy, and building costs have gone way up and are likely to go. You know, there's likely to be inflation at the end of this cannabis. We had a very interesting article a couple of weeks ago by Trevor Forbes in our Business Monday collection of articles about the anticipated inflation that will follow the end of this pandemic, because as demand increases, I mean, we have less supply and more competition for supply, so building costs for steel and wood are going to go up. So it's, you know, it's very hard. It's going to be very hard now to move to the Berkshires.
It's harder. Yeah, it's definitely a balancing act. I know my brother's oldest daughter, her and her husband bought a house in Cornwall. They lived and they both have jobs in the city, but because there happens to be internet service where they decided to move to, they can remote and also go into the city once or twice a week.
If there were a train.
Well, they can very easily go from Cornwall either to Danbury or right over to Wassaic.
That's
not a big ride for them. You know, this area faces some incredible opportunities and challenges over the course of the next couple of years with dealing with this. And going back to the pandemic, change Berkshire culture.
Oh, yeah. This is an interesting article by Sheila Clary. It's dealing with, you know, we like to boast that we're a cultural resort. However, this is the first of a three-part series about how the workers in the cultural economy are being shortchanged and not being paid well. And it's kind of shocking, actually. They're almost like the local workers are being shortchanged.
And something that we haven't reported on yet, but we understand that the employees of Mass Mocha,
I was just going to bring that up.
A union.
AFL-CIO. They're deciding whether to go with the union or not.
Right. That's right. That's a big story.
So, and I think that's a reflection of the stresses of working in the cultural, the cultural economy, that there isn't enough money and people are being asked. I mean, according to the employees of these various organizations, I mean, and there's a, I think there's a Facebook movement to, you know, for people to begin talking about it, and we understand that there was actually a high level employee at Hancock Shaker Village who was let go in the face of this this Change Berkshire culture movement. But people are, you know, they feel like they're being underpaid and they're being they're being asked, you know, to work harder than they should for less money, for the love of culture and the dedication to the mission, and I think many of them are feeling exploited.
Yeah.
Well, we only got about 3 minutes left. I want to get to the final story that you picked out, and that is your series of, I love, by the way, wherever I can read them, articles that go back and show the history of an area. And you've got articles about Pittsfield's history. I lived in Pittsfield. I lived in Pittsfield for about a year in the beginning of my radio career. So it's nice to look back and see that, because I remember Pittsfield as I was there in 1971.
Right.
And it's a lot different now.
GE was roaring, and it was a booming town.
Yeah.
Actually,
it was totally different then. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, now it's
because
sad.
Because General Electric was making transformers at what it called the works. Well, that came later, but I mean the recognition of that. But Pittsfield was one of those New England industrial towns where the industry left after a period of time, and it kind of left it was an identity crisis for these communities, and
as well as a financial crisis.
It's been a real struggle for them to recover. Pittsfield is certainly one of those places. But this story by Bob Connor, this series of stories that Bob Connors is writing for us, is about his growing up in the 50s and 60s during in Pittsfield. And, you know, it's really sweet. And
yeah.
It has that feeling of the childhood lost, you know. As he said, his first story is making lemonade out of from lemons. and it's about the serving, you know, it's about baseball and how he...
Playing baseball
as a kid.
A woman who lived next door to the lot who was...
With a baseball field,
trying
yeah.
to, you know, it was very unpleasant because she didn't like the noise and she didn't like the kids, and I'm sure she was afraid that a ball was going to break one of her windows.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just remember living there, and like I said, this was in late 71, early 72, and there were a lot of places for a young person like me to go, and right even across the state line. I lived on Summer Street in Pittsfield, as a matter of fact. Mm.
Ah.
And I worked nights, so I could walk to work and walk back to work at 1 o'clock in the morning. It was a different town back then.
It was bustling too.
But it's nice to
North Street in the Central yeah. Avenue in Pittsfield was just booming. You know, lots of stores, lots of people on the street. It was commercially, you know, it was a very lively town.
Yeah, and I love to see these historical stories, and more people should pay attention to them that live in the area, because it just gives you an idea of what this town, what this area, the whole tri-state area, was like, as comparison to what it is now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, there is this kind of underground, you know, lingering kind of nostalgia for the, as if that was the best of times, you know. And,
well, it was certainly better in terms of jobs.
In terms of jobs, and the population was much higher too in Pittsfield.
And we didn't have the drug problems that we have, and the, you know, it was a more innocent time. I mean, at least we remember it that way. Who knows what else was going on? It was certainly a more racist time. It was.
But it was a more prosperous time
right.
for many, many people.
Right.
Because the wages at General Electric were, which governed, by the way, the wages that everyone else had to pay, for example, the workers in North Adams at the industries up there, Sprague Electric, for instance, they had to compete for with the wages that General Electric was paying. So, you know, people generally were well off or better off.
Better off, yeah. Well, we are out of time, but it's always great to talk with you too. And it's once again,
yeah, it's good to
folks,
talk with you too.
We just take a few of the stories. TheBerkshireEdge.com is where you're going to find it, and you can check in every day because there's just new information and stories.
Yes, we update daily.
Yeah,
on
a whole
new stories every day.
All right, so we'll speak to you guys next week, and hopefully it'll be warm again next week.
Well,
yes,
I hope so.
Yes, maybe in the spring. Anyway.
All right, take care,
happy
guys.
Happy spring, whether it's here or not.
All right, take care, guys.
Daylight savings time.
Bye. That is the Berkshire Edge on air. TheBerkshireEdge.com is where you can find them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.